Welcome back to the Unforgettable Radio Theater and our journey back to the golden age of radio. This is Mike Alexander, your travel guide for the trip. This next stop is to 2.5 years later, Thursday, December 22, 1949, to listen to Eddie Cantor in a rare dramatic role. He will star in an episode of Suspense. By this time, Cantor had finished hosting the Pabst Blue Ribbon Show and was the MC of Take It or Leave It. Cantor started recording records in 1917, both comedy and popular songs. In 1934, he introduced the song Santa Claus is Coming to Town. It had been turned down by other well-known singers as silly and childish. The song sold 100,000 copies of sheet music the day after it debuted. Cantor was also a composer, with his most famous song seldom attributed to him. It is Merrily We Roll Along. Cantor made numerous film appearances, many performing his folly songs and comedy routines. He was offered the lead in The Jazz Singer after George Jessel turned it down. He turned it down as well, and the role went to Al Jolson. Cantor became a leading man with the film version of the play, Whoopee. I'm resetting the Time Portal's radio dial to Thursday, December 22, 1949, for the episode of Suspense titled The Double Entry, starring Eddie Cantor.
Mr. Eddie Cantor in Double Entry, a suspense play produced and edited by William Spear. Mr. Cantor appears as Eddie, with Sidney Miller as Sam, his bosom friend, in Double Entry, an unusual story of clerical crime at Christmas time. Altogether, a most remarkable tale of suspense.
It always balances in the double entry system. If it don't, you hang around until it does. Yeah, even Christmas week. That's what I've been doing all my life, keeping books. It's fascinating, positively fascinating. Look at them figures. Beautiful, ain't they? Calligraphy, they call it. That's Greek for beautiful handwriting, you know. I bet in my day I've written billions of figures. Oh, hundreds of billions. And cash? Say, I've handled so much cash, my fingers are calloused. Why, once I even got water on the thumb from licking it to count money. But so what? What's cash? You go along every day counting it, piling it up, never thinking who owns it, never even think about what it will buy. Handling cash is just the same as adding figures. A job. Then, one day something happens that makes you look on things different. There's no excitement in an office, no danger, no heroism, no adventure. Not much chance to risk anything, to do something for a pal. So if a guy gets a chance to do a favor, to help out a pal who's in a jam, well, maybe you look on cash a little different. All of a sudden, cash is more than pieces of metal and bits of green paper. And if it's Christmas week, if it's Christmas Eve, and your pal is true blue, it's even more important.
Eddie, hand me that Dixie cup, will you?
Your ulcers bothering you again, Sam?
Yeah, they're bad. These ledgers are driving me nuts.
You got the wrong temperament for an accountant, Sam. You shouldn't let it get you down.
Things can't go on like this, Eddie.
What's the matter, Alice? Don't Alice understand you?
No. That's not what I mean, Eddie.
What do you mean, Sam?
You wouldn't understand it.
You always say that, Sam. I'm an understanding guy. That's what Mabel says.
Mabel says. You understand Mabel. Does she understand you?
Certainly, perfectly. A man's wife has to understand him. If she don't, what good is she?
Well, that's a nice way to look at it. If your wife understands you.
Don't Alice understand you?
No, Alice don't understand me.
That's because you don't understand her.
Will you shut up? Sometimes you're so smug.
Oh, lay off, Sam. You can't go on like this.
Like what?
Grouchy all the time? You got something on your mind that Alice don't understand? Try me out. I won't throw no dishes at you.
I can't tell you, Ed. It wouldn't matter anyway. You can't do nothing.
Well, just telling your troubles helps sometimes. Talk, Sam.
No.
Talk, Sam. This is Eddie, your friend.
Okay. Okay. It's the auditors.
Oh, them guys?
Yeah.
Oh, don't let them worry you. You're head bookkeeper here, ain't you? You tell them. Don't let them tell you.
I'm telling you, Eddie. They're getting awful close.
What are you talking about?
They're driving me nuts.
Why, Sam?
Eddie, I'm light.
You mean...
The books. They're light. They're short.
You mean that...
I'm a crook, Eddie. Yeah, an embezzler. And they're going to get me. Those auditors, they're on to me. I know they are. I can feel them getting closer and closer. Now, after 9 years, they're on the trail, Ed.
You a crook, Sam. I don't believe it.
Oh, I wish I were dreaming.
Why, Sam, you're the fair-haired boy around here. All you had to do was ask.
Ask who? Bartholomew, that tight-fisted...
It's Alice. She's to blame, I know. She wasn't satisfied with your salary. She wanted ermine, capes, diamonds, a box at the opera. I know. She drove you to it, sir.
Don't blame her, Eddie. This one we can't blame on Alice. She doesn't even know anything about this caper.
Well, if she didn't drive you to it, why'd you do it?
All those kids on the block. They wanted to go to camp. Yeah, that's how it started, Eddie. With unknown benefactory.
You don't make sense, Sam.
Just $100 or so at first. I figured to put it right back. Then the papers come out with unknown benefactor sends 20 kids to summer camp. Oh, that got me. That unknown benefactor.
So that was you, huh?
Yeah, yeah. And pretty soon I was taking out $100 here, $100 there, sending it off to all sorts of people and outfits. I sent dough to help the Institute for Aged Cats.
Oh.
Yeah, then I was an unknown contributor to Help Save Vaudeville Movement. And kids. I was always helping kids. A regular Scrooge.
No. Santa Claus, Sam. Oh,
yeah. And it made me feel great. Of course, I'd cover up on the books here with a fake entry, hoping I'd hit on the market and be able to put it all back, you know.
Yeah, but you were always unable to make a recoup. Kept getting in deeper. Sam Crockett, an embezzler, and for 9 years...
Don't say it, Eddie.
9 years. How much did you take in all that time?
$100,000.11. Where am I going to get that kind of money?
I could dig up the 11 cents.
Oh, wisecracks. That's all you're good for. Jail staring me in the face.
What do you want me to say? What do you generally say? What do you generally say to your friend when he tells you he's a crook?
I told you because it feels good to get it off my chest. 9 years of hell.
That's why you've been so nervous.
That's where my ulcers come from.
Every night working late, covering up and...
Sweating, worrying. Thinking of the ultimate end. The wall's closing in on me, Eddie.
And now... Hello, yes? Yes, Mr. Bartholomew. Send Crockett in? Okay.
My master's voice.
Bartholomew wants to see you. Wag your tail, Fido.
Wag it? I can't even drag it. Say, Eddie, didn't I see the auditors go in there a minute ago?
Yeah. Yeah, come to think they did, Sam.
This is it, kid. Merry Christmas.
Maybe it's not, Sam.
I got a feeling. I'm not scared, Eddie. No, it's a relief. Now I'll sleep nights. Maybe my ulcer will clear up. Oh, but those kids. Those kids are going to take it hard when they read about their unknown benefactor doing time.
$100,000. Holy. Wonder what he did with the 11 cents. Sales tax, I suppose. What a chump.
Your name, Eddie?
Yeah, what about it?
What about it? I'm Fink Freeze. Mr. Flint said to drop in and see if you want to place a bet today.
Flint who?
What do you mean, Flint who? Mike Flint. Ain't your name Eddie?
Sure, but I never heard of Mike Flint. You got the wrong Eddie. My name's Sullivan.
Oh, he didn't tell me the last name. How am I to know? He says look up Eddie in 411 Perry Trust Building.
This is 511.
Oh, for Pete's sake.
Yeah, wait a minute.
Huh?
Wait. You say you take bets on horses?
I'll take a bet on a camel if he's running a tropical park.
Are you a bookie?
Well, I ain't no taxidermist, pal.
Say, I may be the right Eddie after all. Got any odds?
Well, if you're on the level, Eddie...
You're in the business. Do I look like a stool pigeon?
Okay, Eddie. Ah, I guess you're okay. Odds, huh? You want odds? Well, let's see. A tropical park, I can give you 10-1 in the first race. Aleppo, finished last in a field of 9, his only other start.
Let's see the form.
You see, odds is okay if you don't bet too heavy. Play odds like a side bet, Eddie. The thing to play is the jockey, not the horse. Now, you take Sylvester. 1-3 yesterday, 2 on Monday, 1 on Sunday. Oh, he's hot, very hot. He can ride any dog into the money.
Does he ride a long shot today?
No, he's got 2 favorites and 4 short odds nags. He'll win, say, 2 races today, maybe 3, one for Santa Claus.
Say, here's a 50-1 shot. Altruism.
Altruism? I never heard of him.
I got a hunch.
Well, play it, play it. Always play hunches. Let's see who this altruism is. Never raced before.
Then how do you know he's no good?
Well, I don't, but look who he's running against. War Alarm, unbeaten in 3 starts. Test Tube, last year's Gold Cup runner-up. And File Clerk. Oh, say, there's a hunch for you, Eddie.
I ain't no file clerk, and I'm playing altruism if you don't mind.
Okay, Eddie, okay. Just give me your $2.
Is that all I can bet?
Well, no, Eddie, but, gee, I don't want to play you for a sucker.
How about $2,000?
Oh, why don't you tie that bull to a fence?
Will you take $2,000 on altruism?
On the level, Eddie?
Sure as tonight's Christmas Eve.
Where would you get that kind of dough?
Borrow it from the boss.
Well, I have to get Flint's okay. Let me use your phone, huh?
Go ahead.
$2,000. Oh, well, that's not stage money, Eddie.
Neither is $100,000. Could you pay off?
Well, sure. Flint will cover any bet I make. Hello. Give me Flint. See, this Flint is a very smart cookie. Maybe he don't want it. Oh, hello, Mike? This is Fink. Look, there's a man's got $2,000 he wants to put on an ad called Altruism in the third at Tropical. The odds are 50-1. How about it? Uh-huh. Yeah, but if he wins, Mike... well, sure I'm a gambler, but 50 to... Hey! Guy hung up. Funny guy, this Flint. Am I a gambler, he says. Well, okay, Eddie. We'll play $2,000 on altruism's nose for you, okay?
Well, all right, but it's a lot of dough to hand over to someone I never saw before.
Well, I never saw you before either, mister.
Yeah, but what chance are you taking?
Look, quit stalling, Eddie. Are you betting or not?
Okay. Wait till I get the money. Here it is. 1,000, 1,100, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8, 9, and 10. Makes $2,000.
Thanks, Eddie. What you shaking for? Is this your life savings or something?
No. There's lots more where this came from.
Oh, of course. You're independently wealthy.
Oh, yeah. That's it, Fink. You're a card.
Oh, card. Oh, gee, I almost forgot. Here's my card, and here's your ticket. Now, hang on to it. Might be worth $100,000.
Okay, Fink,
Hey, you all right? You look kind of green.
You've just been looking at too much dough, Fink.
Maybe. Now, you drop around this afternoon about 3. The address is on the card. Your dog is running in. Goodbye, altruism.
So long, Fink.
So long, Eddie.
Hello?
Sullivan, this is Mr. Bartholomew.
Yes, sir.
Speak up.
Yes, sir.
That's better, Sullivan. Sullivan, I want you to send a nice new $100 bill to the 2nd Street Mission. Put it in a plain envelope and don't write anything with it. Wrap it in a piece of paper so no one will know what it is at the post office. I want to send a nice little anonymous gift as a surprise. A nice, crisp $100 bill.
Yes, sir, Mr. Bartholomew. 2nd Street Mission. I may send them a little something myself later. Yeah.
Eddie, it's okay. I got by.
What?
I'm clear. That auditor missed it. What's the matter? Aren't you glad?
You mean you ain't going to jail?
Oh, not this year.
Are you sure, Sam?
Positive, Eddie. The auditors are through. Not a chance of getting caught.
Not a chance, Sam?
Not a chance, Eddie.
There could be a slip-up.
No, there couldn't. But what's the matter with you? Aren't you glad for me?
Sure. Look, already I'm doing handsprings.
Oh, boy. Of course, it doesn't solve things completely.
You said it.
I'm still short, but that's okay.
Oh, sure.
I'll think of something. I got a whole year. No more unknown benefactors, though.
I'm very glad.
Eddie, I don't quite get it, though. Bartholomew buttering me up. He says, we know everything is in good shape, Sam. No use putting these auditors to any more trouble. Just have them check the cash on hand, and that'll wind it up.
The cash?
Yeah.
Sam, hand me that Dixie cup by the typewriter.
Yeah, sure. You dry?
Very. How are you going to get the 100 grand back in the books?
Oh, I don't know. Why?
Maybe I can raise some dough.
You couldn't raise a Venetian blind. But what are you worrying for? I'm out of a jam.
And I'm in.
What are you... What's on your mind?
Just 2 or 3 years, that's all.
And now I suppose you're going to tell me you've been swiping postage stamps.
No. Nothing as bad as that. Look, I'm your pal, Sam.
Well, sure.
I'd do anything for you.
Then talk sense.
I hated to think of you in Sing Sing for 6 months, Sam, so... I'm going there myself for a few years.
What do you say?
I took $2,000 and bet it on a 50-to-1 shot at Tropical Park, Sam.
No.
Yes.
No.
Yes, I did it. Yes.
Oh, no.
Oh, yes.
No, tell me you're kidding me, Eddie.
I did it for you, Sam, for Christmas.
What?
A guy don't get a chance to prove his friendship very often.
Friendship? You talk of friendship at a time like this? We're both as good as in Sing Sing right now.
And me the longest.
I hope so. Of all the dumb tricks... And you didn't make any entries, huh?
No. Just took it. Just...
Eddie, how'd you come to bet on a horse? You never made a bet. What bookies do you know?
Here's his car. He just happened in by accident.
A truck should just happen by accident to run over you.
Maybe he'd give it back, Sam.
Oh, sure. Bookies are that way. Philanthropists. All of them. Besides, there's probably no such address as this.
Oh, don't be hard on me, Sam. After all, I risked my own neck to save yours.
No greater love.
And maybe this horse will win.
A 50-to-1?
Well?
Let me see that card. Well, all we can do is try and get the dough back.
He was awful nice, Sam.
Oh, shut up. Nice. Look, fake an entry in the books. Then we'll pay Mr. Fink Freeze a call. Friendship.
Yeah, friendship. We're in this together, pal.
Bringing you Mr. Eddie Cantor in Double Entry, tonight's production in radio's outstanding theater of thrills, Suspense. And now, Autolite brings back to our Hollywood soundstage our star, Eddie Cantor, with Sidney Miller in Double Entry, a tale well calculated to keep you in suspense.
On the subway up to the bookies place, I didn't say a word. I just stared at the ads and kept thinking of how I'd mess things up and wondering what Sam was thinking. The window we sat near had bars on it, and I felt I was already in jail. Well, we got to the bookies. It was a great big large room.
The track is now fast at Tropical Park.
Ah, well, if it ain't the millionaire bookkeeper. Hi, Eddie.
Oh, hello there, Fink.
Welcome to our humble joint. Of course, it ain't like Hialeah.
No, but as close to it as we can get in New York, I know.
This is Sam Crockett, Fink, my friend.
Oh, glad to meet you, Mr. Crockett. Smart man you got working with you. He's going to make himself a pile of dough this afternoon, aren't you, Eddie?
look, fella, this is all a mistake.
Huh?
Eddie had no business betting $2,000 on a horse. The fact is, it wasn't his money.
Well, I am surprised.
You see, he was trying to help someone.
He helped himself to $2,000, huh?
Think, give us a break and return the money. We'll both go to jail if we don't put it back.
Scratch, low boy, number six.
I'm very sorry, fellas, but I can't do nothing. I've turned in the dough. I just work here. I can't get that back.
Oh, you've got to help us, Fink.
Look, I'd like to, Crockett, but how can I? This is a business. Now, supposing I ask the boss. He says it's a contract. He can't back out, neither can you. Where would we be if we asked you to take your money back?
Yeah, but don't you see, we'll go to Sing Sing Fink.
2 minutes to post time for the third at Tropical Place. Your bets now, men.
Yeah, maybe those bills were counterfeit. You could tell the cashier the dough's no good, huh?
Now, how can I, Eddie? He can spot a phony from 50 yards.
Look, Fink. The auditors are checking our books now.
All I can say is I'm very sorry, and I hope this nag wins for you. But I can't do a thing about
it. In the third.
Oh, we're sunk, Eddie.
I'm really sorry, boys. I should have known better than to take your dough.
He sounded like he meant it, Sam.
So what? Come on, let's go.
Ain't you interested in hearing the race over the loudspeaker?
No.
Well, I am. It's me who started this. I'm going to get my money's worth.
That's Tropical in the third, a correction. Sylvester is riding altruism.
Did you hear that, Sam?
You mean we get a jockey?
Now, don't be funny. This guy Sylvester is hot. He's winning
That's
two or three
Tropical
races
in
a day.
The third. They're away at 3:17.
They're off, Sam.
I got ears.
Oh, gosh.
At the quarter, it's Warlarm, Dive Bomber, Calumet Powell, Dunnian, Westward O, File Clerk, Valiant Ned, Mashy, Niblick, Timid Soul, Golden West, Test Two, Box and Block, Early Riser, and altruism.
No wonder you got 50 to 1. There's 50 horses.
That's not a race, it's a caravan.
Last place. Now, are you satisfied?
Okay, Sam, let's go. Seabiscuit couldn't win in a crowd like that unless he cut across the infield.
Oh, you sure pick him.
Come on, what are you waiting for?
I'm not waiting. Quit pushing me.
Am I pushing
at
you?
Perhaps.
Listen.
Valiant Ned by a length. War Alarm is second. Test Tube is third. Dive Bomber fourth. Dunnian, Calumet Powell, Westward Ho, File Clerk, Timid Soul, Golden West, Early Riser, Mashy Nipley, Altruism, and Auction Block has dropped out.
That nag is taking the pause that refreshes.
Well, he's come up.
If enough drop out, he can win.
Yeah, the race would have to last 2 days, huh?
Why didn't they run it in heats?
Well, might as well hang around till the end, huh, Sam?
Well, I
the
guess so.
In the stretch, Valiant Ned is still leading by a length. Test Tube is second. War Alarm is third. And coming up is Altruism.
Did he say Altruism?
He said it. Get the results.
Hey, Porky, how about the finish?
I'm going to line up, please.
Sylvester! Sylvester, ride, boy, ride, ride.
Oh, don't wring your hands. It's too late to pray. The race is over.
Who's the winner? Who's the winner?
Oh, I know. The wire is always a minute behind.
Eddie, we've got a chance. Christmas comes but once a year.
That's too close for comfort. Oh, why did Flint let me take that bet?
The winner of the third of Shopico is Altruism.
No, no, my horse. No. Yours, mine. He won. He won. Sam, he won.
No, he won.
He won, Eddie. Well, am I a chump now?
You're a champ, Eddie, a champ.
Oh, it was nothing, Sam.
Only a sap could do it.
Thanks, Sam.
Holy smoke, this does it.
Think, I almost forgot. You got to fork over the money.
Yeah, that just about busts this joint. Look, how about calling it off?
Calling? Remember what you said about contracts?
Well, yeah, if I'd have known they were switching Sylvester on that dog.
Come on, when do we get paid off?
Well, right now, Crockett. Come on over to the cashier.
Cash? Do we have to take cash?
Oh, absolutely. Here, give me your ticket.
Here.
Now, here's the cashier at this window. 100 grand, Speed.
Look, the cashier don't bat an eye. I'm going to take them up.
The cops!
It's a race! How about my dough?
Grab that cashier!
He's going out the back door! Well, the cops jugged everyone in the place. Fink and the other gamblers got away with 100 grand, and we had to wait until Christmas morning for a hearing, but every silver lining has a rip in it.
Oh, I don't see how they got away. Oh, am I sore. We sit here in the can and they're off with all that dough.
We were framed, Sam. The whole thing was planned.
Oh, you're crazy. How think no altruism would win? You can't turn on a police raid like a shower bath.
Well, how are we ever going to find those guys?
We won't. And if we do, it won't do us any good. Because you haven't got the ticket anymore. And even if you had, you couldn't force them to pay because bookmaking isn't legal. It's gambling.
Keep on. I love to hear your ulcer talk. Oh. And it fits so nicely with these surroundings.
You might as well get used to it. We'll be living in quarters like this for some time.
Quiet, Sam. Here comes the keeper.
Hmm? And he's got Fink with him.
Good. He deserves to be in jail, the dirty...
Hello, Eddie. I got something for you.
I'm sorry. I'm just not interested in tips, that's all.
Oh, no, Eddie, you don't understand. I just come to say Merry Christmas. And this is for you, Eddie.
For me?
Oh, what is that? Open it, Eddie.
Oh, yeah. Look, Sam, $2,000.
$2,000?
That's right. That's all I got. It's my own dough. Mike Flint blew town, so this is the best I can do, Eddie.
Oh, gee, thanks, Fink. Thanks, you're a prince.
Just call him Santa Claus. So there I was, back where I started, at scratch. All I had to do was to put the dough back in the cash drawer. They made us pay a $10 fine, and we got home in time for Christmas dinner. The next morning, we took the subway downtown. Sam read the paper, and I just stared at the ads as usual.
Eddie, quite a story about altruism. Picture of Sylvester. Just a kid, 19, weighs 105.
Look at that ad. It says to spell it backwards. If they want you to read it that way, why didn't they turn it around?
Yeah. Eddie, look.
I don't know why they... What is it, Sam?
Look, this picture. It's Bartholomew.
Where? They've arrested him.
What for? Embezzlement, Eddie.
But that's you, Sam.
Listen to this. Bartholomew confessed to having embezzled company funds to the tune of $250,000 when auditors discovered a shortage in cash of $2,000. So that's why he was hurrying those guys around.
Let me see.
Look.
What a business. Everyone in it is a crook.
Hey, Sam, where you going?
Back to the police station. I'm giving myself up.
Giving yourself up? But Sam...
No, Betty. I'd never sleep again if I escape scot-free. Besides, I'd like to get away from Alice for 6 months.
But Sam... When nobody was looking, I slipped the $2,000 back into the cash drawer. And Sam went to the police and gave himself up. But guess what? They didn't want him. They already had their man. Sam wrote out a confession, offered to show them the books, but they just laughed at him. Called him a publicity seeker. He pleaded with them, but it was no use. Even Bartholomew called him a fool. Imagine Sam fought for the right to go to prison, and they laughed at him. Then he went to the newspapers, even to the district attorney, explaining what he'd done with the money. But they wouldn't believe him either. That's the thing that finally broke Sam's heart. No one would believe that he was the famous unknown benefactor. They told him, "Go on, Santa Claus. Go back to your reindeer." Sam would have preferred a few quiet months in Sing Sing breaking rocks. He could have got rid of his ulcers. He would have got away from Alice, but no.
Hey, Eddie, hand me that Dixie cup, will you?
Your ulcers bothering you again, Sam?
Yeah, something awful. Keeping ledgers straight is driving me nuts.
Oh, Sam.
Suspense, presented by Autolite. Tonight's star, Eddie Cantor, with Sidney Miller.
And friends, once again, Merry Christmas to all, and to all, good night. Next Thursday for Suspense, Ida Lupino will be our star. The play is called The Bullet, and it is, as we say,
a tale well calculated to keep you in suspense.
Tonight's Suspense play was produced and edited by William Spear and directed by Norman MacDonald. Music for Suspense is composed by Lucian Morawek and conducted by Lud Gluskin. Double Entry is an original radio play by Robert Minton. This is CBS, the Columbia Broadcasting System.
Cantor was the second president of the Screen Actors Guild. He invented the phrase, the March of Dimes, for the donation campaign for infantile paralysis to combat polio. Cantor met his wife Ida in 1913, and they married in 1914. They had five daughters, which became fodder for his comedy act, as was shown in the first stop to listen to the Pabst Blue Ribbon show. He was also the only person on the TV show This Is Your Life to know in advance. Cantor was recovering from a heart attack, and it was felt that the shock might harm him. He passed away of a heart attack on October 10, 1964, at age 72. Cantor was one of the first hosts of a TV show that had revolving hosts. Can you name that TV show? I'll give you the answer next week before I start the journey. That ends our journey back to the golden age of radio for this week. But I make this trip back every week at the same time on this same station. Do you have a favorite program from the golden age of radio that you would like to hear? Let me know. Send your request to radiotheater@wbnj.org. That's radiotheater@wbnj.org. At the same time, tell me your answer to the question asked at the end of the journey. Even if you have no special request at this time, maybe you have some comments about the show. At the very least, email me the answer to the question. This is Mike Alexander for the Unforgettable Radio Theater, asking you to join me next week for another trip back to the golden age of radio. I'll be right here, waiting to set your radio dial and guide you through the time portal.